We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Every time I think of you, I always catch my breath. And I'm still standing here, and you're miles away. And I'm wondering,
I hate these headphones. I'm sorry, Matt. I know you tried to help me, but I hate them. There's like a whistle going on in my right ear. I don't know what's going on. So, I mean, you just got to find one damn set of headphones that works in the morning in this goddamn place. One set of headphones that works.
Maybe if you didn't lose your headphones that gave you a month ago.
I've been losing them for 30 years.
What's
I've never had an
you?
Issue. 30 years I've been doing this job. I've never had an issue with headphones in the morning.
Don't lose your damn headphones.
Can I get a pair that works, that doesn't buzz in my right ear, please? Thank you, Matt. You're a gentleman and a lovely kid. Good morning, Bernie. How are you?
It could be worse. My headphones work fine. I've had these same headphones since my first day at WABC Radio in 2007.
Is that right?
Well, my second day, actually. The first day was in some funky club we did with Imus. But the second day.
Oh, remember that.
13, 14 years now I've had these headphones.
I wish I could boast the same, but I can't. I misplace stuff. I lose stuff. Those headphones don't work, so... Put them in the back and try them on and see if they actually work, okay? All right, thank you. You know, yesterday I'm in the gym, and I'm doing my chest. I know you worked out yesterday too, Bernie. And I did something yesterday that you did over the weekend, which I'm not really allowed to do, but I don't think my wife saw it, so I'm not in trouble yet. And that is that I actually I sent over a selfie without a shirt on to a nutrition company. They sell protein, creatine, glutamine, all these things, like you would buy at GNC. And they posted this picture of me, and at the risk of sounding brash and arrogant, I look absolutely amazing. No shirt, the whole deal, tan, just yoked out of my mind. And then I got depressed because I'm watching Tom Brady on television, and he doesn't even try. The guy doesn't even try, and he's so damn good looking. Does that bother you when you see guys like that? It doesn't bother you. You're much more stable than I am.
Well, I had my day. I was... I had a good run, so no, it doesn't bother me. And now I'm past my prime, and it's not the same that it was 30 years ago. But either way, listen, the guy has hair plugs. He does look great, but remember, he has hair plugs. That fuzzy, puffy hair that he has on the top of his head.
Yeah,
it's all fake.
It doesn't look fake.
I know, it looks great.
Right,
he looks fantastic.
Who's not
You're
fake
right.
these days? By the way, what woman out there on television isn't fake from her ass to her boobs to everything else?
But if Tom Brady took his shirt off,
yeah,
and stood next to you,
no, I'd kick his ass.
That's what I'm saying.
I got him beat.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
All right, so I win without the shirt on. He wins with the hair. He wins with the face. Let's go to bank accounts.
And wives. Well, no, never mind. Not wives. You have a beautiful wife as well. But yeah, he wins on the bank account and on the jeans.
He does.
You have to really try hard.
I have to try really hard,
right,
bro.
You got to sit in the sun and bake yourself for 2 hours a day.
Right. That's my point.
All like killing yourself in the gym.
Right.
And this guy, he pretends he's on some sort of fecocta diet or whatever the hell he is. And then you see a picture of him and he looks...
He's gorgeous.
He's got some... No, I'm talking about shirtless. He's got this, the consummate, perfect dad bod.
Right.
Dad bod. Right?
Dad bod?
Dad bod. Dad bod, right? You know, I don't know. Who's the guy? Paul, Kevin, what's his name?
Kevin James?
Kevin James.
He's not put like Kevin James.
Well, a little bit.
The King of Queens?
Before he put on all those pounds.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, he looked good yesterday, and he was funny, too, at the White
he
House.
He was funny. We'll play that for you. The Buccaneers, of course, just won the Super Bowl. They're your Super Bowl champs. And they went to the White House, and Tom Brady was all over Joe Biden. I thought that was really, really, really funny. That was my favorite part of all the news yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a nice late moment. And of course, Joe Biden didn't disappoint either. We'll get to that as well.
Right. So it's official. Eric Adams was named yesterday as the winner on the left. So as if we didn't know this for days, if not weeks, if not months, everybody else seems to know it. He's already in transition process with Bill de Blasio. He's been in meetings with the governor, the president of the United States. He's moved on. He thinks he's the next mayor. He's actually even said that. But now it is official. We're going to get Eric Adams versus Curtis Sliwa come November in what should be a very exciting matchup.
Yeah, extremely exciting. It's going to be a lopsided victory. I hate to say it, for Eric Adams.
You think so?
I think so, yeah, because...
I mean, I think so, too, but I'm afraid to say that because I love Curtis so much.
I'm going
to
keep playing Curtis clips, and I'm going to pump up Curtis left and right.
Right.
But the idiots that are going to vote for Eric Adams, they're not listening to us.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody listening to us, is they're pro-Curtis, I believe, anyway. Either way, it's going to be... he's the crime... You have two Law and Order guys. Again, if you had the other idiot, what's her name?
Maya Wiley.
Maya Wiley versus Curtis Lee. Well, Curtis would have a chance because there would be a stark contrast. But you have two guys spouting the same stuff, espousing the same stuff, same solutions for crime, which are both correct. And Eric Adams happens to be an ex-cop, Democrat, black, so he's going to win. Curtis Lee has got name recognition. He's larger than life. He's like Superman in New York City. But it's not enough to overcome the Eric Adams, whatever it is Eric Adams brings to this table.
Yeah, he brings a lot to the table. He really does. Thank you, Lori in New Jersey, one of our listeners, real estate woman. She goes, Tom Brady's an a-hole. You're not. I mean, what's the matter with you? Are you nuts? Tom Brady's a man. 1-800-848.
Yeah, why is he an a-hole?
I don't know. I like Tom Brady. 800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. What a great Wednesday show we've got today. We have four guests coming on today, but I'm mostly excited for you, Bernie, because Ann Donnelly is stopping by today,
yeah.
And I really want her to win because I couldn't pick Todd Kominsky out of a lineup, but I hate him now because of you.
And listen, all New Yorkers should hate him because he is responsible for the no-cash bail law. State Senator Todd Kominsky from Nassau County. He has the onions, the stones, to actually run for the Nassau County District Attorney's Office to be the Nassau County DA after having been a Brooklyn federal prosecutor, knew what he was doing, helped craft the bill, knew that it was fraught with problems, still voted yes for it, and now we have so many people dead and victimized by crime because of it. So, no, he cannot be the Nassau County DA. Ann Donnelly is the person.
She'll be on at 7:40. She was great with Katz last night. Although Frank Morano did tell me this morning that Kominsky is related to Mel Brooks. And I do love Mel Brooks, but that's not enough for me to want him to win. You're the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show at 6:43 on your Wednesday morning. I guess we're going to get some rain today. Then we're going to have three consecutive beautiful, I mean beautiful, low to mid-80s, no humidity summer days as, believe it or not, folks, we are getting awfully close to closing out the month of July. And before you know it, it's going to be August. Then you're going to turn around, it's going to be Labor Day. Then it's going to be week one of the National Football League season. And that's how fast it goes, just like that.
Yep, every single year. But you noticed the haze yesterday, right?
Was that the fires from the West Coast?
Yes, exactly. Reminiscent of when Mount St. Helens exploded out, I believe Washington State, and then
The volcano erupted.
The volcano erupted,
yeah.
And all that stuff came here, and the same thing happened. And all is similar to 9/11 as well. There was sort of a haze over the city.
Well, yes, yes.
But this is amazing, coming from California. It's California, Washington, Oregon, Canada, and Colorado. And anyway, yeah, the rain will wash that crap away.
Well, the 9/11 stuff, I happened to live at the time in Chelsea on 21st Street and 8th Avenue. And the windows were open. It was a September day. It was nice. And not just haze, but there was smoke in my building for weeks and weeks. I eventually had to move to Tenafly, New Jersey. But, to Battery Park first, then Tenafly, New Jersey. But yesterday, my family kept rubbing their eyes. They were uncomfortable. And they're like, don't you smell that, Dad?
Yeah.
Don't you? I felt nothing.
It was like one huge, big cigar bar outside. It was,
really?
Yeah.
So you were affected? Because I wasn't.
Oh, I noticed it for sure. And if anybody looking at the moon was orange. And that was because of the smoke. Now, it wasn't... It wasn't overcast. It was this hazy smoke, and it was bad. They were telling people don't go outside and exercise. Of course, I went on the boardwalk and did my thing, and well, whatever. You know, it didn't stop me. But either way, it's going to be gone today, and a good riddance to it. A good riddance also to Jeff Bezos yesterday.
Oh, enough of that. We started this show about this time yesterday talking about his ridiculous Blue Origin flight into space. By the time we were off the air yesterday morning, they were back already.
I mean,
but, come on.
He went, they spent 4 minutes in space. And, of course, the joke is that's why his wife divorced him. He only lasts 4 minutes.
See what he did there?
I heard the joke. You know, it's so stupid.
It's kind of funny, though.
But they're also, remember the term white flight?
White flight?
Yeah, remember that turn?
You can't say that anymore.
Well, white flight. People, all the white people fled the city.
Oh, white flight?
White flight.
White flight. Don't know it.
Well,
it,
that would apply to yesterday's flight as well.
There were no black people on that flight?
No, there were four white people.
Four white people.
Four whiteys. Right. Which I heard Greg Kelly say that's probably why he decided, did Jeff Bezos, to give $100 million to none other than this very, very hateful Van Jones character.
Oh, Van Jones.
Give him $100 million.
For what?
I don't know. Makes no sense whatsoever.
What's his name? Richard Branson's white, too. Elon Musk is white, too. So I don't think any of these flights will be black people going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I don't know. We have some audio. We'll play that a little bit later. But either way, it was just, who knows? I mean, if it increases, helps with space technology, satellite technology, it's a good thing. But it was one big, you know, they're calling it the Phallus One because, you know, it looked like Jeff Bezos just swinging his, you know what, or
right.
trying to over or compensate for a lack of it or something like that. I don't know. But but anyway, that was yesterday. You know, the whole cowboy hat thing, too, a little
ridiculous.
What
was that about? I know they were in Texas, right? That's where the thing it was in Van Horn, Texas. Is that why they're all wearing cowboy hats?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And some people are saying it's the most expensive midlife crisis ever. that's the Bezos thing. I mean, it was a big nothing burger, really.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing funny about midlife crisis because I've gone through it more than once, and there was nothing funny about it. If you really get it, I mean, not the where you're looking for an excuse because you're banging some young chick. I mean, if you really go through a midlife crisis and the chemical does change in your body like it did for me, it is rough. You didn't go through that, did you? Don't go through anything. You're so lucky.
I'm begging you. Bro.
God,
I'm begging you. It's just a matter of perspective.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Everything changes. Your hormones, the chemicals. It's not perspective.
What am I, Superman?
You wake up one morning, you look in the mirror, and you go, damn it, I'm not good enough. That's for real. That really happens.
I just explained to you, I had my day, and now I am way past my prime. So, of course, I've experienced it, but you keep it in perspective, and it's all good.
Yeah, not for me. It was brutal. 1-800-848.
I'm not surprised, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Four great guests today. Lydia reports, beat Bernie, all the sports, too. Big night. What is going on at Yankee Stadium? The fans can't seem to control themselves, and we've got a new NBA champion today. So, later on this today, I start my book, which I've talked about here, Citizens United. It's my second book. It's due for release Father's Day 2022. And my author is Johnny Russo. Johnny is the same guy that wrote Anthony Cumia's book. The what was the name of that book again?
You're Wrong and You're Ugly. Oh, no, that was your
book. That was my... Something uncensored.
What a nice man.
Yeah, that's it, uncensored.
Something
yeah.
like that, yeah, right. Yeah. So Bernie is... I've had a few people that have offered to write the foreword. And some very famous people, by the way. Very, very famous people. But I offered it to Bernie, and I want Bernie to do it, because Bernie's the best, and I love him. But I was asked, you know, when Artie Lang wrote the foreword for my first book, The Howard Stern Funny Man, and even Imus wrote a couple of sentences, too, both were, they kind of tinged on humor. So they were asking me, is Bernie going to write a foreword that's going to be funny, or is Bernie going to write a foreword that's going to be... relatively, I don't know, serious.
Why can't you combine the two?
Well, I don't know.
A little,
You're writing it, so I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I haven't sat down and plotted it out just yet. But
you nervous?
Not in the least.
No, have you ever written a foreword for somebody before?
Well, no, I have not, but I did write that chapter for you, though that author made it easy. I was just able to dictate during a phone call.
That was Paul Schwartz.
Right. I mean, am I going to be able to do the same, or
yes.
do I have to actually sit down at a word processor?
No, I'll have you call Johnny, and you can dictate it to him. He'll tape it on a tape recorder. This way we have to sit down and write anything.
I like that.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy,
right.
baby.
But it's got to be longer. The chapter you wrote in You're Wrong and You're Ugly, which turned out to be amazing, because Bernie actually says in his chapter, in the book, which was written now 11 years ago, how much fun it is to work with Sid. I love working with Sid, and he's in Miami now, but... you know, I think one day he and I could do a great show together. This is the God's honest truth. You can read this. And 6 years after that, we started working together here at WABC in New York. It was a very prophetic chapter that Bernie wrote. That was a short piece of work. This has to be longer. This has to be longer. So.
Right. No problem.
You're easy. Ready to go.
Yeah. I got plenty of material. A lot of material.
Well, people always ask me, when is Bernie going to write a book? But that's not going to happen.
Well,
you used to say somebody has to die for that to happen, and now the guy's dead.
Yeah, well, that is true. But, well, I would have to conclude my career. I mean, I just don't have the energy, really, to commit to writing a good book, a quality book, while I'm still doing this. I mean, it really takes time and effort.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Twice a week I'll be on the phone with this guy.
Yeah, believe me, I have a lot I could say and do and recount and all these things, but it's not coming. It's not imminent. I can tell you that.
If you wrote a book, would it be, you think, looking back on your career, would you be more thankful and grateful for the opportunity, or more of just taking shots?
No. Well, I'm very grateful. Listen, I almost wrote a book back when we were first fired. When we were fired back in 2007,
after Rutgers, yeah,
after the Rutgers thing. And it was shopped around while I was fired. I'm glad it didn't get picked up, because then I probably wouldn't have gotten – I probably wouldn't have came back, because Obama had just written a book called The Audacity of Hope.
I remember that.
Right? The Audacity of Hope. Obama writes that book. Well, my proposed title, the book that they were shopping around, this literary agent, very famous lady. I'm not going to mention her name.
I know who she is.
Yeah. Anyway, the name of the book, and remember what happened back then with Imus, right? The reason the Rutgers girls. The name of the title was going to be The Audacity of Ho.
Oh, when this lady
was shopping the book around, she got nothing but shock.
She was okay with that?
She said she thought it was brilliant.
Really?
She said, this is going to sell. And she went around, and the publishers were like, I don't think the time is right for this.
Oh, my God.
and it turns out I was lucky because, like I said, I would have burned too many bridges.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it worked out well. You got back after that with Imus, and here we are now for the last almost 6 years.
By the way, it's the first time I ever mentioned that story. Ever.
There you go.
That's a true story.
That's a great story.
Because I was down on my luck at the time. I was done.
Oh, you were done.
I was done. It was over and out, and I wasn't getting any help from anybody.
No.
Believe me when I tell you.
I mean
anybody.
Living in a rowboat after Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. If you know what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, anybody.
It was a mess. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you like these 30 minutes... And how could you not? It was great radio. We're just getting started. 3 more hours, 4 great guests, and a whole bunch of good stuff on this Hump Day Wednesday.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Look, we have all the Fauci versus Rand Paul. And de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio, again, making sense 2 days in a row. What's going on here? Is this guy looking to switch parties? I'll play the clip. You'll be amazed. Also, the crime thing is out of control, as everybody knows. And this MSNBC anchor... She's sitting there interviewing the mayor of Washington, D.C., and you're not going to believe what she said. This woman is an idiot. And I know her very well.
She's pathetic.
She is pathetic. From the Imus days, this Andrea Mitchell lady. I mean, just totally tone deaf, these dopey Democrats. And that Asian lady, by the way, who she's brain dead. I said she died yesterday. She's not dead. She's brain dead. I'm sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show.
What are you... Bernie and Sid fans out there to go out today and buy the New York Post. I know you do every day anyway. It is really as far and away the best newspaper in the country. Wall Street Journal may be a close second. Certainly not the New York Times or the Washington Post. But the New York Post does a great job every day. And every Wednesday in the New York Post, thanks to our great owner, John Catsimatidis, WABC puts in a color ad, a full-page color ad. Well, in today's New York Post, on page 20, you'll notice WABCRadio.com, 770 AM New York City, 107.1 FM Eastern Long Island, and then in big letters, New York's morning show leader, Good Morning Start with Bernie and Sid, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 10, and a spectacular color picture of me and Bernard, Bernie looking very sharp in his denim, me in my winter brown Joseph Aboud blazer, and there it is, right on top of Commute Home with Cats at Night. Join host John Catsimatidis and guests for a common sense recap of the day's events, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6, and a very handsome Picture of John Katsimatidis in his red tie. So there it is, page 20, New York Post. Big color ad for WABC. Your bookends, Bernie and Sid in the morning, Cats at night, and color pictures of all three of us.
And one of the hottest paper in the nation, and maybe in the world, the New York Post. There we are, featured. Thank you, Mr. John Katsimatidis and Red Apple, for the opportunity and, you know, touting us like that. We appreciate it very, very much. Hey, listen, speaking of the New York, the city here, I mentioned that Asian lady who was dragged down the stairs at Canal Street by the mugger,
yeah,
who, by the way, is not a white supremacist. I have to point that out every single time. And he did not have a gun. So talking about gun violence all the time, gun violence. We have a crime problem, okay, folks? Not a gun violence problem. We have a crime problem. And in order to solve a problem, you have to identify the problem. And so it's a crime problem perpetrated by a certain group of people, a certain demographic. And if we don't address it and find out why it's happening, we're never going to solve it. So, but either way, the lady is on life support, and her son says it doesn't look like she's going to come out of the coma. She's a brain, her, you know, brain dead essentially,
right.
And it's just a terrible, terrible
thing.
How old
is she, this lady?
She's in her 50s. The mugger grabbed the kid's backpack. He reached out as they were walking up the stairs in Canal Street out of the subway. He reached over, grabbed his mom as he was falling backwards. You know, just a reflexive thing. He grabbed his mom's, and she banged her head, and this is the result.
Oh, jeez.
And it was just, run-of-the-mill mugging, and a terrible tragedy ensued. And then, of course, you had the shooting down in Washington, D.C., and this is all part and parcel, again, of the Biden administration's six-month mark came yesterday. Inflation, the border, and crime are the three big strikes against this creep, Joe Biden. Terrible stuff here. He's a major failure. But either way, you had the national shooting, and they got a lot of attention. Of course, Washington, D.C., because of, you know, the journalists, the liberal journalists, they love the Nationals. They go to Nationals games. So they were talking about it. So everybody was talking about it. We talked about it. But also a six-year-old girl was shot and killed, murdered over the weekend in D.C., and along with five other people. This girl was just happened to be a bystander. But Andrea Mitchell was on MSNBC talking to the mayor, Mayor Bowser, who, by the way, said yesterday she's going to keep her Black Lives Matter plaza in place, in which the words defund the police are inscribed on the street. And this is all the reason why the crime is spiking like this. But either way, listen to Andrea Mitchell sort of dismiss the crime problem down in D.C. Listen to this.
We are thankful to you and to Commissioner Conte and what the police are doing. And we know how safe and wonderful our city is. This is just a shocking way that it
safe?
Was displayed for the whole country to see in a place that has been improving in safety. But we do have over 100 homicides here already this year, and it is really of concern.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, in the one hand, the city is safe. Yeah, it's safe where you live. Crime is no big deal. You know, except for the murders, in the black neighborhoods. No, who cares? I'm sad that the country had to see Washington, D.C. in this light. Yeah, I mean, you out-of-touch idiot.
You know, we bring this up all the time. You can't help it. We've been together for so long and back to our Imus days. But when I think back about how close we were, all of us, including me, because she was on my show quite a bit in Florida with Chuck Todd, with Andrea Mitchell.
Oh, yes, very close.
I mean, really close.
I mean, she used to call me all the time, and when was he going to talk? How's he going to be? How was I? Was it terrible? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah.
In the bathtub with Alan Greenspan.
It's like, it's true. Yeah, this is a couple of lifespans ago, it seems. So now they're different people over there at MSNBC. They really are. And by the way, the video of that cop that got smashed with a bottle by the perp in the street in Queens at like 4 o'clock in the morning for no reason, caught on his body cam tape. That guy was arrested twice before for assaulting police officers, and yet he was still out on the street. Again, no cash bail. We're going to talk to Ann Donnelly at 7:40. She's running for DA of Nassau County against the guy who helped write the no cash bail law and then voted yes for it, Todd Kominsky. So That's the problem we have with crime in the cities, and it's out of control, and we have to stop it. The lenient judges, the lenient DAs, the disrespect for the police, and the no cash bail laws.
Get them out.
Those are the major issues right there. Now, yesterday also, it was very, very entertaining. Another offender. This guy, he probably has more blood on his hands than Andrew Cuomo, and his name is Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci. He went at it with Rand Paul down in the Senate yesterday. He was there to talk about, you know, the Delta variant or whatever the hell it is. Why this guy is still on the government payroll, I will never know. But he helped. The bottom line is he helped to fund this research that caused the virus to leak out of the lab and to spread all over the world. This atrocity that China perpetrated on the world, Anthony Fauci helped enable it.
And that's, I don't think so.
That is the bottom line. That is a fact. Rand Paul called him on it yesterday. Dr. Fauci knows it. He was actually shaking, this old man shaking, and he's pointing at Rand Paul like this. It was really good. Take a listen.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Microphone.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was? Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly.
Yeah, wow.
And he knows exactly what he's talking about.
He does indeed. In fact, there was, it got worse. Fauci's lips were quivering. He was probably soiling his pants because, again, he knows he's guilty, and it got very intense. Listen to more.
If you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is
not. Get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
So there was. I saw this headline over a picture of Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul, and it said, "Debate erupts between trusted medical doctor." And Dr. Fauci.
That's funny.
And then finally, Rand Paul.
He is a great doctor, Rand Paul. Ophthalmologist, right?
And a wonderful humanitarian. Went to Haiti, worked on poor kids' eyes for free. No, he knows what he's doing, and he's the right guy to call this war criminal out.
You know, my first cousin, Norm Coleman, has told me time and time again. Norm, as you know, was a very, very smart guy out of Minnesota. He's told me time and time again the smartest politician he's ever met in his 40 years of service is Rand Paul.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Rand Paul summed it up. He was on one of the shows last night. He summed up the exchange between him and Fauci by saying this.
I think the reasoning behind him being so resistant, so livid, and so full of ad hominem is he realizes that once the public realizes that the NIH, under his leadership, funded the Wuhan lab, he realizes where the blame's going to attach. He has at least tangential responsibility. If this came from the lab that he was funding, my goodness, can you imagine the moral culpability that the man has?
Exactly right. And he knows it. That's why, again, his lips were quivering. He's ruined lives. The school closed. The lockdowns, all these things, wrong, masks, cruises, the virus itself to John Catsimatidis in the last week of January of 2020, and even going back to AIDS, he was wrong on all of that stuff, responsible for more deaths than Andrew Cuomo. And you can remember these two clowns, these two fools, buffoons, basking in the glow of the celebrity status that they received during the pandemic while people were suffering to the point where they were comparing themselves to movie stars.
Maybe we enlist you. I'll do it with you. We'll do an ad telling New Yorkers it's safe to take the vaccine to put us together. We're like the modern-day De Niro and Pacino. You can be whichever you want. You can be the De Niro or Pacino. Fauci and Cuomo, I'll give you a firm. Who do you want to be, De Niro or Pacino? Which
funny,
one do
right?
you want to be?
I love them both. I love them both. I don't want to insult one or the other. If I say one, I don't want to hurt the feelings of the other.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And we'll both be on Fredo's show tonight, too. It's going to be great. Meanwhile, people are just dying, suffering, locked up. Kids are psychologically traumatized. I mean, it's just a disgrace. Why this guy is still on the payroll, I have no idea.
And Donnelly is running against Todd Kominsky on the Republican ticket, of course, for Nassau County DA. She'll join us at 7:40. Jack Cittarelli, the hope of New Jersey, running against Phil Murphy for governor. He'll join us at 8:40. Former housewife of Orange County and now the face and the voice of Lightback, a product that we talk about every day on this show. Gretchen Rossi is going to be here. And then Lauren Conlon as well. So four great guests. Lydia Reports, Beat Bernie, all that great stuff still to come your way on this, the hump day edition of Bernie and Sid.
What am I going to do with 400 ventilators?
Want to see a nice picture of the very handsome duo known as Bernie and Sid holding up today's beautiful color promo ad, page 20 of the New York Post. Check out our Instagram pages at It's Bernie and Sid. That's the show page at It's Bernie and Sid. And, of course, my page at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney. And you can see this beautiful ad in today's New York Post promoting the morning show leader, that's Bernie and Sid, and the bookend, of course, Afternoons with John Catsimatidis, Cats at Night.
So yesterday, the buffoon who runs this city, oh, he doesn't run anything, but Bill de Blasio, he actually made sense on the masks.
What?
Right?
That's 2 days in a row now.
That was the
Big Bird doesn't have a clue.
That was yesterday, actually 2 days ago. Yesterday, yes. On Ben and Jerry's, he said something that stunned me. Listen to what he said.
I can say I will not be eating any more Cherry Garcia for a while. That's sad to me. BDS is a movement that will undermine peace in the Middle East. It's as simple as that. You cannot have peace if you undermine the economic reality and create division. I just believe that's absolutely the wrong approach, and I don't think Ben and Jerry should be doing that.
I'm shocked.
Where the hell was this guy for all these years?
I believe he wants to switch parties. Maybe he's gotten religion. I don't know.
What has there ever been a time in this lengthy year after year run where Bill de Blasio has made sense 2 days in a row?
I just don't know. I said yesterday, four more years.
You're not kidding.
Except for the crime problem we have. He's responsible for that.
Well, wait a second. I think Cuomo's more responsible because of the no cash bail.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, there's a whole collection of people who have blood on their hands. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of crime problem, you've seen that Staten Island, this man was killed. He was murdered. And they wrote on his body, "I touch little girls."
I saw that.
"I touch little girls." In Staten
Island. 1 to 5 year olds. 1 to 5 year olds.
His pants were pulled down around his ankles. His arms were stretched out like he was dragged. And, he 4 years old. They also wrote on his foot, "I take dolls in my room for girls aged one through five.
Yeah.
Right, yes, exactly right. Woody Allen's going, "Why are you looking at me?" But, that's straight out of Blue Bloods or CSI or something like that.
Yeah,
that's very bizarre.
That is bizarre.
But anyway, you had that yesterday here in New York, and I don't know. The old man, he was just, 24 arrests, so maybe there's something to it. 24 prior arrests. Maybe, maybe not.
This sounds like payback to me. I don't know. Right, I mean, they waited and waited, and
it's a good TV show.
Yeah,
it's like we'll wrap this up in an hour, and Donnie Wahlberg will have it all settled.
Well, that's the thing about Staten Island, and John Tobacco was here yesterday, and we talked to we spoke to Nicole Malliotakis yesterday too. So Staten Island was well represented on this show yesterday, but on Staten Island they sell scores, bro. That's the bottom line. They don't wait for somebody else to settle it. On Staten Island, they settle scores.
Yeah, they do. Indeed. And, of course, I mentioned earlier, we talked about Bezos going up into space. And a lot of people complaining that he should be paying taxes. And so he spent $47,000 per minute. And they're making analogies to they're calling it the Phallus One. It was just one big middle-age crisis, as I said earlier. But while they were up there floating around for 4 minutes in space, 4 minutes, that's it, folks. Again, they were up and down in, 11 minutes time or something like that?
Yeah, something.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah. It's not a Lindbergh crossing the Atlantic or anything like that. But anyway, while they were up floating around, they had some audio tape. Take a listen to this.
Here, catch.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mom.
Ready? Here it comes. Yeah, you just have to wait for it. Who wants a Skittle?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, see if you can catch this in your mouth.
What? Yeah, they're up there in space. And Tulsi Gabbard tweeted out what I said. The only problem she has with Bezos' rocket is that it's going to come back. And then also Bezos, it was all white. Four people, they're not wearing helmets, by the way. But four people flew up into space, as they call it. It was like 11 miles above the border between the Earth's atmosphere. 50 miles is considered the border. Once you pass 50 miles, you're in space, and you can float around. But either way, they were all white people. And then Bezos gave $100 million for some reason. Play a little bit of Bezos here, giving the money to Van Jones. Van Jones, this hateful guy from CNN. Listen to Bezos.
The Courage and Civility Award is a $100 million award so that the awardee, the recipient, can give $100 million to the charities, the nonprofits of their choice. And these are people who have demonstrated courage. By the way, it's easy to be courageous, but also mean. Try being courageous and civil. Try being courageous and a unifier. That's harder and way better and makes the world better. The first Courage and Civility Award goes to Van Jones. Van, come on up.
Courage and what? Civility, and don't be mean. Remember the night Donald Trump won the election?
I do. Wow.
This is what this jerk Van Jones said. It's talking about civility. Listen to this.
We've talked about race. I mean, we've talked about everything but race tonight. We've talked about income. We've talked about class. We've talked about region. We haven't talked about race. This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president. In part. And that's the part where the pain comes.
So he's a race-baiting jerk.
Of course he
is. Civility? What, are you kidding me?
Van Jones.
So another reason to hate Jeff Bezos. And I don't have a problem with the rocket going up. Again, if it helps with satellite technology or whatever the hell it is.
Does it?
I don't know.
I mean, to me, this just seemed like a ego grab.
Yeah,
that's all
exactly
this was.
Right. Exactly. The most expensive midlife crisis ever.
Right.
As we mentioned earlier, 4 minutes in space, and the joke was, no wonder his wife left him. He can only last 4 minutes. Blah blah blah. But anyway, that was the distraction yesterday. the light news to get away from all the tough news, the crime and the incompetence that is Joe Biden. Did you see that videotape of these guys at the border, these people coming in through? There was actually a fence in Del Rio, Texas, believe it or not. And it was stunning, stunning. Hundreds and hundreds of mostly young males, mostly young male illegals. The good news is, I guess, is that they're definitely not white supremacists. That's the good news. There's no way, but they were pushing their way in, and the border agents finally just let them in. And these people, they were from Africa, from the Middle East, from Ghana, from the Middle East, from Brazil, from Venezuela. I mean, root causes. And they're pushing this amnesty bill right now. By the way, Lindsey Graham said this about the amnesty bill. And he said, this is what they're doing right now. If they pass this amnesty bill, we're going to have the whole world come here. Listen to what Lindsey Graham
said. That will lead to an invasion of illegal immigration. It will put jet fuel on a system that's already broken. If you give one person legal status, there will be a run on our border like you've never seen before. The dumbest idea in the history of the Senate, the history of the White House, it will lead to a breakdown of law and order beyond what you see today.
And by the way, this is in the middle of these Democrats panicking, fear-mongering about the Delta variant, the COVID variant, which is unnecessary, the panic, as the New York Post points out this morning. But allowing all these people to come in untested and sending them into the interior. And again, mostly able-bodied young males, none of them white supremacists. That's the good news. But it makes no sense whatsoever. It's just a disaster. 6 months in, Joe Biden gets an F. Sleepy Joe gets an F. Gets an FU from me. I mean, I can't stand this. It's horrible. We have to make a change. 2022, ladies and gentlemen. Traffic and sports is coming up next, but right now it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Bo Snerdly every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Right here, Bo talks about the COVID Delta variant.
Now, folks, please pay attention to this if you are among those concerned about this Delta variant. Although there is compelling evidence that the Delta is more transmissible, there is limited data on whether it is more likely to result in a severe illness. Although there is compelling evidence that Delta is more transmissible, there is limited data on whether it is more likely to result in a serious illness.
Yeah, well, especially if you're vaccinated, it will not. So don't panic, folks. It's okay. It's all good. Bo Snerdly every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on 77 WABC.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Yankees remain hot, hit four more home runs last night. Number 16 for Stanton, number 17 for Gary Sanchez, including in those home runs. And they beat the Phillies by a final score of 6-4 to earn their third consecutive win and now move five games over 500. Here's their skipper, Aaron Boone, after the win.
Guys being in different spots, you know, Brantley going out to first base and playing first base for us. You know, guys having fun playing the game, though, and doing a good job of it.
With the win, the Yankees remain seven games back of Joseph Abbuth's division-leading Boston Red Sox. The Yankees will host Joe Girardi and the Phillies once again in the Bronx at 7:05 tonight. The Mets lose in Cincinnati, 4-3 the final, this despite Pete Alonso hitting his 19th home run of the year. With the loss, the Mets fall to 49-43. They're still alone atop the NL East, 2.5 better than the Phillies, 3.5 better than Atlanta. They have a game today in Cincinnati, first pitch 12:35 this afternoon against the Reds. For the first time in 50 years, the Milwaukee Bucks are your NBA champs. They came back after trailing Phoenix 2-0 in the series, won four consecutive games, beat the Suns last night 105-98 behind 50 points from the Greek freak Giannis. It was Giannis after the win.
Just believe in what you're doing. Keep working. You know, don't let nobody tell you what you can be and what you cannot do. You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight, and I'm a freaking champion.
You know, it's been a long time. The last time the Bucks won the championship, their best player was a guy named Lou Alcindor. He wasn't even Kareem yet. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at the bottom of the hour, I'm Sid. This Nassau County DA race comes your way. And we talk an awful lot on this show. Bernard does specifically about Todd Kominsky being the author of the criminal bail reform. And Ann Donnelly is a Republican candidate who's running against Kominsky. She was terrific with Cats at Night last night. Now she makes her debut this morning on the Bernie and Sid show. Somebody we really want to win on this show. So with that said, Ann Donnelly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bernie and Sid. How are you?
We're great. Thank you so much for hopping on. Franklin Square, one of my favorite parts on Long Island. So tell us, the criminal bail reform that Todd Kominsky authored, put into play, that is causing so much trouble in this city. You got to think that alone, Ann Donnelly, may be enough ammunition for you to win.
I certainly hope so, Bernie, because what he did made our residents less safe, and I'm running because I want them to be more safe. Our residents, our neighbors, our friends, our children, our elderly, they need to be protected. That's what the DA's office is supposed to do, not to let these violent criminals back out on the street to commit more crimes.
No, exactly right. Ann Donnelly, this is Bernard speaking right here. Ann Donnelly is the deputy chief of the Organized Crime and Rackets Bureau out in Nassau County. She's very, very experienced. And Ann, I watched News 12 Long Island. Listen, Todd Kominsky has the press on his side. They do not mention the fact that he not only voted for this no cash bail law, but helped to craft it because he was a federal prosecutor. They leaned on him for advice, and he warned them. He said, listen, not giving judges discretion might lead to problems. And, of course, it led to bad problems. But he still voted yes. He worked out some deal, still voted yes for the no cash bail law. You rattled off some statistics on Channel 12 the other night, but they never mentioned during the report that Kaminsky voted for this bill and helped to craft it.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. He helped to craft it. He voted for it. And 3,000 people were released from jail after the bail bill came down. And they've gone on to commit 9,000 more new crimes.
Wow.
It's just a number he can't run away from. I'm sorry.
So I'm curious, Ann Donnelly, that outside the obvious, the criminal bail reform, and you just pointed out the number is almost an average. It is an average of three crimes per person. What else will you run on? What other major differences between you and Todd that you think will appeal to people like me and Bernie?
Well, the biggest difference between us is I am a career prosecutor. He calls himself a prosecutor. He was a prosecutor for a cup of coffee, as far as I'm concerned. Not even a third of my career did he spend prosecuting. I have spent my entire career, 32 years, prosecuting. And I do that because I care about the citizens and the residents of Nassau County. And that's what you need in a top prosecutor.
Absolutely.
Not someone who's an opportunist. Not someone who's looking for their next step to get to Washington or to the governor's office or wherever he thinks he's going next. I've done nothing but this for my entire career, and I am going to continue to do nothing but this.
Yeah, Todd Kaminsky, a very ambitious a politician is what he essentially is, just a hack politician who has cost some people their lives with this no cash bail law vote of his. And so where are we on that no cash bail law, Ann Donnelly? Is it ever going to be repealed? State legislature, anybody telling you that they're going to amend it at any time?
They keep talking about further amendments, but I haven't seen anything coming yet. That's something, of course, I'm going to fight for because it needs to be amended. There are so many crimes that we cannot ask for bail on. Possession of sexual images of children, I can't ask for bail on. Certain wow. conspiracy, you know, charges, conspiracy to commit kidnapping and murder. And, you know, we can't ask for bail on these things. And it's just not right.
How could you vote yes for a bill like that? How could Governor Cuomo sign a bill like that? I mean, that's just astounding to me.
That is the question I throw my hands up about every day, Bernie. Anybody who calls themselves or thinks they were a former law enforcement prosecutor would never have voted for that bill, would have stood up and said no.
But Ann Donnelly, Ann Donnelly here with Bernie and Sid. Bernie, of course, lives on the island. You know that I don't. I live in the city, but I do make my way to the island now on weekends to the Catalina Country Club in Atlantic Beach. So I've got a little bit of an interest in on Long Island. I am curious, so I don't read much lately, hear much lately about the MS-13 problem that was so immense a couple of years ago. What's the latest with that?
Well, I have to say, I give our police department great credit in cracking down on that type of gang activity. The issue that we're having now is guns on our streets, something that we never saw prevalent before in Nassau County. We are now seeing they're coming from, you know, the outer boroughs into Nassau County, and we need to look at and concentrate on that. Our shootings are up 39%. It's just something we can't close our eyes to.
Ann Donnelly, she's running for Nassau County District Attorney against State Senator Todd Kaminsky, who voted for and helped craft the no cash bail law. And how can people help your campaign? Tell us where to go, what website, tell us.
I think the most important thing is, number one, to get the vote out. You know, it's considered an off-year election, and sometimes people sit back a little bit and don't decide to vote. I need people to come out and vote. I need our young people to look at what's happening in their hometowns and come out and vote.
Okay, I like it. Listen, Ann Donnelly, we have your back, and we'll have you back on before the election. So fight the good fight, and Godspeed. And thanks for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Bernie, Sid, thank you so much for having me, and I'm here to fight the fight until the bitter end.
I like it. I like it.
I get that sense, Ann Donnelly. So good luck. We will talk again before the big election. So we've done all we can. I mean, between your constant commentary, which is very, very important, on what a louse Kaminsky is, now we brought his competition on. We've done all we can, Bernie. What else can we possibly do?
We
other than just go out there ourselves dressed in, you know, in riot gear and guns. And what else can we possibly do?
Wear a sandwich board and walk around the town of Hempstead and say, vote for Ann Donnelly. There's not much else we could do.
Right. But I'm not going to do that, right?
We're doing our part. Hey, you know, we're going to talk to Lauren Conlin, our entertainment reporter, after we speak to the man running for governor in New Jersey, Mr. Cittarelli. But the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. I mentioned that Greg Kelly tweeted out, bring back the super duper models.
Right.
I thought that they were putting on their cover, you know, plus size women or something like that. It turns out what they're doing was putting transgender. So the first transgender swimsuit model is on the cover of the Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And who cares about Sports Illustrated, by the way, anymore? Nobody buys magazines, do they?
Well, I think that magazine, believe it or not, still does okay.
Really? People go to newsstands and buy Sports Illustrated?
I got to tell you, at the risk of sounding like a complete perv, once I can get porn on my phone, you can't give me Playboy, Penthouse, Sports Illustrated. What do I need any of that stuff for?
That's what happened to Time Magazine, Newsweek, Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, they all disappeared with the internet.
Right.
Yeah, and the same thing should apply to a Sports Illustrated, but this is like their Times Person of the
Year.
This
is the big deal.
It's like maybe
people talk about it because it's beautiful. Unlike the perverted stuff that people like to see in dirty magazines, this is like body paint and women looking beautiful and all that nonsense, which no guy cares about.
And Matt Meany no guy cares about. But right. Matt Meany said a lot of athletes model for it as well. Now
Naomi Osaka, tennis player, is in there.
Why did they not use the person, the transgender they put on the cover is an attractive. Well, it looks like an attractive woman. Obviously, it's whatever. I don't even know what it is. A male. I don't know what the hell if it's a chick with a male part or not. I don't know.
Okay.
But why didn't they put the New Zealand weightlifter who's competing in the Olympics that weighs 260 pounds? Why didn't they put that person on the cover?
That's not an attractive swimsuit. It's not attractive, that person.
So they're bigoted and biased against unattractive transgenders, is what you're telling me?
Well, they should be. Let's be honest. I mean, come on.
So they are. So
but you're not big. I mean, it's supposed to be beautiful people. That weightlifter is not a beautiful person.
That is that to me, that's bigotry. I am triggered and outraged by it.
What you should be outraged is that person is competing, and I know you are. And that's why every story I keep seeing how these Olympics in Tokyo are really in jeopardy right now because of the COVID outbreak. I have to tell you, and I feel my heart breaks saying this because I know there's a lot of good kids who practiced and worked really, really hard to get here.
And they're already there in Japan. They're already in the country.
So my heart breaks to say this for those kids, but with all the woke stuff going on and all this COVID nonsense, I almost hope they cancel it. I really do. I'm not interested.
It's very possible they may. They very well may do that this week. The guy who runs it said that yesterday. Look, we're going to talk to Jack Cittarelli. He's running for governor of New Jersey next hour. Got a lot of stuff also. Tom Brady at the White House yesterday. We'll speak to Lauren Conlin about the Sports Illustrated, get a woman's perspective on that cover, and many more things on the Bernie and Sid show.
We're going to end the cash bail system once and for all.
I'm so busy this morning, I can't even eat my Egg McMuffin, hash brown, and juice, the number one deal that Maddie asked. When is O'Halloran coming back, by the way? Matt's doing a great job. But when?
Tomorrow's Thursday already.
He's in Colorado, right?
Apparently, yes.
Smoking weed and whatever he's doing out there. Got a busy couple of hours coming up. The man running against Phil Murphy for governor in the state of New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli, will join us at 8:40. Then a couple of ladies, former Orange County housewife Gretchen Rossi and Lauren Conlin, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. A big 2 hours of Bernie and Sid on this Wednesday. Keep it right here. John Waite, missing you, 8:06. Hump Day, episode day. Wednesday morning on Bernie and Sid. Jack Cittarelli, once again, running for governor in New Jersey, up against Phil Murphy, who will join us at 8:40.
Hump Day!
There you go. Former Real Housewife of Orange County, and now the face and the voice of Lightback, our friend Arthur's great product, Gretchen Rossi. She'll be here at 9. Lauren Conlin coming up at 9:20. But I always get a kick out of it. a guy that I think you really made famous, Bernard, is Kennedy out of Louisiana. And anytime he riffs on something, it's always great. And now he's, you know, he's in his crosshairs. He's got these Democrats who ran out of Texas, and a bunch of them came down with the COVID-19. And anytime Kennedy gets pissed off about something or whatever, he makes me laugh every time. So I don't even care what he's talking about. He could be talking about the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship last night. I just want to hear from Kennedy.
I'm all over it like a hobo on a ham sandwich. Yeah, we'll have that audio in a little bit, but. In the meantime, you know, that all this fear-mongering over the Delta variant, which, by the way, is the Indian variant. Nobody cares. It's not racist. It comes from India, okay? That's it. It's all covered by the vaccines, with the exception maybe of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which you might need a booster shot for. But the panic still is way over the top. these people... You know, I don't know what it is. They want to perpetuate this fear. It's control, of course. And maybe they want to keep this, coronavirus, China virus mentality going into the 2022 election. I'm not sure. But anyway, whoever is responsible for this quote-unquote vaccine hesitancy, the vast majority of people, well, let's put it this way. Black people are the least vaccinated demographic of all people.
Right.
They're trying to blame it on, Trump supporters and, you know, Tucker Carlson and this and that. Just look at the stats. Black people are wary of the vaccine. They don't want to get it. And maybe with good reason. Remember the Tuskegee thing they did? They actually intentionally gave blacks syphilis. The government did. So the blacks are like, I don't want this. I'm not taking your stupid vaccine. But either way, also Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Governor Cuomo, all three of them, they're responsible for it as well. Remember when it first came out because it was under Trump? They were like, oh, we're not going to take this thing. Listen to Kamala and Joe, both of these two idiots, back last fall.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
There you go. So, who's responsible for vaccine hesitancy? Excuse me. They forget we have videotape that we can call on from the past. Also, this idea that kids should be masked up and vaccinated, by the way. You know how many kids died from COVID? You know the number? The total number of kids?
I mean, it's very small. Very small.
335 kids.
I mean, come on.
And all of them had comorbidities, serious comorbidities like leukemia, that type of thing. So kids are not affected. Dr. Fauci saying mask up kids over 2 years old is child cruelty. I'm sorry. It's wrong. It's been terrible for kids this past year and a half. And to perpetrate it, to continue it at this point, knowing what we know, that it increases CO2 levels in their bloodstream, is criminal. It's criminal. And we played the clips, by the way, earlier of Fauci going against Rand Paul. They were very, very entertaining. But speaking of entertaining, Tom Brady, he went down to the White House with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Super Bowl winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
And it was very entertaining. Tom Brady was actually funny.
It was great.
Now, he hadn't been down to the White House since 2004. How many rings does he have?
This was number 7 this year.
Number 7.
He won 6 with the Patriots and now number 7 with Tampa Bay.
So he never went when he won his rings during the Obama administration nor during the Trump administration. But he did go yesterday. And first of all, he looks great. Well, how old is he? 42 years old?
I think 42 to be exact.
And keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Look at him. He has plugs in his hair. He has plugs in his head. Just like LeBron James. They actually have hair plugs, but it looks good on him.
He looks great.
Anyway, he was at the White House.
Bastard.
He was funny. Listen to this guy.
These guys are an amazing group of men. It didn't look great there. At one point, we were 7-5, struggling a little bit, as the president alluded to. But we found our rhythm. We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
Yeah. That's funny, bro.
I understand that.
And then he continued, did Tom Brady from the podium. Listen.
We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
Why would they do that to me?
Anyway, it was a nice event, a light event. Again, another nice distraction like the Bezos rocket going.
But he was clearly making fun of Biden there, Brady.
Yeah, but in a vicious way.
No, he wasn't vicious. It wasn't malicious, but he was making fun of him.
He's funnier than any of the late night hosts. He was funny in those 2 minutes, those two clips, than they are in like 6 months.
No, you know.
Also, Joe Biden, too, he was lost. I mean, right after Tom Brady stopped speaking, listen to this.
Thank you, man. Unusual number, huh? 46.
He got a jersey.
Thank you. Okay, what are we doing now?
I swear to God. What are we doing now? And he stood there with the jersey. And these idiots that are running the country, they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. And then it started to dismantle the podium. I mean, it was so unorganized, disorganized. I got hairy legs, and I got no brains. I got a terrible staff.
Isn't he a big sports guy, though, Biden? I heard he was. I don't know. Like a big sports fan?
Bro,
or...
the guy's he's a senile.
I know
he's
that.
A sports fan.
I don't know.
Yeah, he used to be.
Bro.
He maybe was a sports fan.
I think
fan
he was,
like
a big-time sports fan. I mean,
stick a fork in him.
I understand that Joe Benigno. I understand he still thinks Norm Van Brocklin's the quarterback for the Eagles, but I think there was a time when he was like a big-time sports guy.
Yeah, but that's funny, man. That's funny right there.
You know what I'm saying, Joe Benigno.
Those Texas, they call them Texas Runaways, Texas Pilgrims, these whiny little babies who thwarted democracy to save democracy inexplicably. They essentially engaged in a filibuster, which is what they want to do in Washington, D.C., in order to pass this voting legislation, federalize our elections so that they can steal elections in perpetuity. That's what they want to do. That's the whole point. They're going to say, look, we can't trust the state legislatures because of their Jim Crow racist laws that are worse than the Civil War. And look at Texas. Look at what these people had to flee in order to prevent that. So we have to pass this H.R. 1, this S.R. 1, federal legislation, whatever it is. But it turns out those people came up to D.C. As you know, they carried a couple of cases of Miller Lite, but they also carried a couple of cases, in fact, 6 cases of a coronavirus. Corona, 6 cases of corona. How about that? I mean, that joke's been going all over the place, but it's true. And they infected staffers, Pelosi staffers. They infected some White House staffers. Kamala Harris had to make an emergency run to Walter Reed Hospital on Sunday. They said it was a routine checkup. Yeah, on a Sunday. Who goes for a routine checkup on a Sunday to Walter Reed Hospital?
No one.
I mean, just be honest with us. Anyway, so they infected a bunch of people. Anyway, this you mentioned John Kennedy. I think we have this now. John Kennedy was talking about these people and what they did. Their childish behavior and infecting all kinds of people because they didn't wear masks, by the way, the masks that they want to mandate on everybody else. Anyway, listen to Kennedy.
Now, of course, they are playing the victim here in Washington, D.C., where they're situated, when they have no basis to play the victim. They picked the right city to do that in. They fit in just fine here in Washington, D.C., because in Washington, D.C., if it weren't for double standards, there wouldn't be any standards at all. This place, as you know, is a lot like high school, except no one ever graduates.
And he says they're either so dumb you lose your place during sex, or they want to cheat, talking about the elections. That's how stupid they are with their baseless accusations of Jim Crow and racism and all that nonsense. Easier to vote, harder to cheat. Bottom line, they can't get away from that. The whole stunt has been a disaster, and I couldn't be happier.
The man running against Phil Murphy for governor of New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli, set to join us coming up in about 20 minutes or so at 8:40. Then we'll talk to the former housewife of Orange County. Right now, she's become the face and the voice of a tremendous product that we pump every day on this show. Lifeback, Gretchen Rossi, she's going to stop by. And then our entertainment reporter, Lauren Conlon,
red carpet rendezvous. She'll be here at 9:25 too. But first, coming up next, Lydia Reports with Lydia Serrani. Terrific every weekday afternoon between 4 and 6 here on WABC. Lydia Reports is next on the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
We do not need more gun control. We need more idiot control.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Well, guys, we've talked about this quite a bit, that the more crimes that are being committed, the fact that the NYPD is not responding because they're not supposed to, because everything's being decriminalized, or maybe they're just busy doing other things because everything is in chaos, basically on the streets of New York City. I sent you guys a video. This is an incident that happened in Brooklyn, in the Chinatown part of Brooklyn. Take a look at it. According to the internet, this happened because an African-American man robbed a Chinese woman's handbag on 8th Avenue, and he resisted. And then a bunch of people, many of them Chinese, surrounded him. It happened at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on July 19th. So take a look at the video, because you see the street justice taking place. You can see the video on my Twitter at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. And you see it there. And it's like, it gets a little out of hand. So this was in the Sunset Park part of Brooklyn. There's a little Chinatown area there. And at one point, you see the African-American guy, big guy, he's kind of bent over at on a car. And another guy comes up behind him with a broom handle and kind of.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at. Oh, yeah, this is nice. Yeah, punch that bastard. He's wearing a mask too. This
yes,
freak.
Yeah, he's wearing a mask.
He's got his pants down around his butt.
Yes,
and this Chinese guy is poking a broom into his butt.
Yes.
Oh, this is unbelievable. This is great.
This is
Asian.
Well, I think they took it a little too far with almost a sodomizing the guy. But this is the kind of thing that's going to continue happening on the streets if we keep allowing people to do whatever they want.
Let me just be clear. I don't think he was trying to sodomize the guy. He was just
He
hit him in the butt. He hit him in the stomach. He hit him in the back with the broom. And
yes.
There's some street justice. You got to love it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Some people, I tweeted it out, and people left and right, some people are saying, yeah, he deserves it. This is what happens. But then other people saying he took it too far. They should have called the police. And you see a lot of people on the phone clearly waiting for the police to arrive. But this is going to continue happening, where people are going to take matters into their own hands. The fact that they're decriminalizing everything. I also retweeted this video out in California that Adam Carolla, you know, that famous comedian, actor, he retweeted, and he said, thanks to Prop 47, thefts under $950 will not be prosecuted, so cops will not bother showing up. Just a reminder, this is what you voted for, California, and it's going viral, and these guys literally walk out of a pharmacy or one of these Walgreens type of stores with a huge garbage bag full of stuff. So yeah. Anything under $950 has been decriminalized, and you can just walk right out with it. And this is going to continue happening. And you'll see it's going to happen here in New York City, too. Oh, I mean, you already see
happening.
The street.
It's job. Happening. Yep. Yeah. They go down to these in Soho, these luxury stores. They walk in and walk out with a lot of merchandise. Nothing happens to them. The employees are afraid to say anything to them. No, it's happening here already in this city, even in these pharmacies, just like Walgreens out in San Francisco. It's happening here. It's happening. To your point on decriminalizing everything or whatever, which you mentioned accurately earlier on, there's a bigger point with the anti-Asian hate crimes that occurred. First of all, this lady who was mugged, her son and the lady, there was an attempted mugging. The guy pulled on the kid's backpack, the son's backpack. He reached out and grabbed his mom's, just a natural reaction. He pulled her down. She banged her head on the stairs. And now she's in a coma. She's brain dead. And he says she's not going to wake up. So the point is this. Most of the remember.
But was he a white supremacist?
Well, that's exactly what I'm getting at. When it was convenient and politically expedient, the Kamala Harris and Joe Biden tried to shine a light, and the fake news media, on these anti-Asian hate crimes, which have been occurring pre-pandemic, by the way. But it didn't stick, because now we see that the majority, the vast majority of the crimes against Asians are being perpetrated by black people. It's been going on for a long time for whatever reason. Don't know why. Don't know what it is. But now the media pretty much ignores all this stuff. And Asians know it as well. They know it. They know it. They see it in the schools. They see what's happening by, for example, remember Carranza? He was discriminating against the Asians. It happens on an official level, and it happens on a street level, this discrimination against Asians. And they've had it up to here, and I don't blame them.
Right. I mean, you had the president and Kamala Harris. They went, where was it, to Atlanta when that Asian spa killing happened because it was exactly, done by a white guy.
Exactly
if it was
right.
a black guy, they wouldn't have gone.
Exactly
this is all,
right.
you know, to help perpetuate their narrative. And Asian hate crimes here in New York City are up almost 400%. 400%. But where is the media attention? I mean, this video is out there, but this is going to continue happening. And bravo. Bravo to these people that finally, you know, surrounded this guy and they fought back. But
yeah.
Because they've had it. They've had it. They're tired of being victimized. You can't blame them.
No, yeah, we need to see more of this. I mean, sadly, because the police have been handcuffed themselves, neutered, essentially. They'll lose their jobs if they do their jobs. So they can't do their jobs. We know that. But what is the root cause of all? Kamala Harris always talks about root causes, root causes, root causes. Well, remember Dinesh D'Souza, he came up with what he thinks is the root cause of this anti-Asian hate crime and, envy and et cetera. Take a listen to him.
There are a lot of assaults in the country going on against Asian Americans, and I think for one reason alone. Asian Americans are far and away the most successful minority in the country. Now, you can't start talking about Asian American privilege because there's no privilege. The Asians have earned their success. A lot of the black attacks on Asian Americans, I think, are explained by a very simple fact. Members of the least successful ethnic group in the country are attacking members of the most successful ethnic group in the country, and the obvious explanation is envy. They're particularly angry because these people at the top are coming into inner cities, they're being successful, and so it's like these unsuccessful people are like, what the heck? And so they take out their anger, their frustration, their resentment on these Asian Americans, and of course the left, which knows that this is what's going on, comes in and goes, it's really white supremacy, don't believe your lying eyes, it's really white supremacy that's the root cause of all these problems.
Yeah, and of course I've been saying this for a long time. I've called them an inconvenient minority, and it turns out a guy wrote a book called An Inconvenient Minority, The Attack on Asian American Excellence and the Fight for Meritocracy. And this book just came out. The guy's name is Kenny Zhu, and we should have him on at some point, but he addresses just this, just what we're talking about, what Dinesh D'Souza
yep.
just talked about.
Yep.
And it has to be exposed. I mean, let's not turn a blind eye to reality, folks.
Right. Remember that Penn State professor, the sociology professor, when he brought up the two, according to him, less attractive Asian men, and then he brought in the taller white guy. And this starts even in the schools where they're constantly talking about race and being divisive. So this isn't helping the matter either by telling white people, oh, well, this is, you know, you make twice as much money because you're better looking. And you see in the video that even like some of the black students are like laughing as to what's going on. It's just really ridiculous. Why are we so hyper-focused on race all of a sudden?
And just one more example of the hypocrisy of Kamala, the bimbo, and the imbecile-in-chief. The lawsuit that that some Asians filed against Harvard for bias with their admissions policy, the Biden administration saw fit to drop out of the lawsuit. So they're not on the side of Asians, only when it's politically expedient. Only when it's they think they can link it to Trump somehow with the China virus, only then do they care. But otherwise, they don't care about the Asians at all.
No, and they don't care. Black Lives Matter only seems to care about stories when you saw with the cop when he was attacked by that glass bottle. There goes again more turnstile justice where that guy had attacked cops twice before and he had the opportunity to attack another cop. And then just to clarify, the cop that was attacked, he suffered a really deep cut to his neck and to his head. He needed staples to close up that gash.
Yep.
And did you see it anywhere on the major cable stations? And the majority of police officers on the street for the NYPD, they are men of color. They're people of color. So this is it. And that guy was a black guy that attacked him, but nobody wants to talk about it because he was a cop. It's really disgusting.
It is.
Whatever.
It's sick. It's sad. And hopefully we'll turn it around at some point soon. Hopefully we reached rock bottom and we're going to come back from this quickly.
We need DAs like Ann Donnelly. We need DAs that are going
Donnelly.
To... That's right.
The flavor.
We had her
week.
On John Katzmatidis last night as well. She's fantastic. We need DAs that are actually going to enforce the laws. The fact that you have DAs saying that they're not going to enforce this or that, who are they to decide what gets decriminalized? We put the laws on the books.
The people we entrust to keep the bad guys locked up and prosecuted, they're the ones that are letting them out, taking their side against us, against victims. I mean, it's really nauseating. But again, hopefully we'll turn it around. Lydia, great report.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Lydia Serrano, you can hear her every day at 4 o'clock here on 77 WABC. Then again at 5 o'clock with Katz, John Katzmatidis. Katz at Night, folks. She's great. The times are tough now. Just getting tough. This
whole world is rough. It's just getting rougher. Springsteen, you know we got a Jersey guest coming on. When the boss brings in one of our guests. It's almost Jersey every time. This man is New Jersey, and if it's up to me and Bernard, he's going to be the next governor of New Jersey and replace the louse they've got there now named Phil Murphy, making his second appearance on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show after beating three different men en route to the Republican victory in the primary. He took out Phil Rizzo, Hirsch Singh, and Brian Levine. It is Jack Cittarelli. Jack, welcome back. Sid, Bernie, how are you, pal?
Jack.
Hey, good morning, Sid. Bernie, great to be back. I did hear last time I was on, it was one of your best-rated shows. So
that's
I
true,
understand
yes.
completely. You guys have me back.
You're right about that.
Yeah, you nailed it. Hey, on a serious note, though, since you were on last time, what have you been doing to ensure yourself a victory come November?
Same thing I did to ensure that victory in the primary. Up and down the state, 18 hours a day, 8 days a week. Call me crazy. I love it. It's great being out with New Jerseyans all throughout the state, and we're going to win this thing.
Yes, you are, Jack Cittarelli, running for governor of New Jersey against Phil Murphy. And we're going to get to some of the ugly stuff that's been happening recently. But I will say this, Jack Cittarelli, in New Jersey lives in the shadow of New York. Governor Murphy benefits from having as his neighbor one of the most evil, worst governors in the history of the United States. So by comparison, he doesn't look so bad. Am I right? I mean, the same pandemic-related mistakes, right?
Listen, you expect your governor to protect the most vulnerable. You expect your governor to minimize the impact of any economic catastrophe. And you expect your governor to run a competent state government. Our governor is 0-for-3, and that's what this campaign is all about.
He really is 0-for-3. You can follow Jack Cittarelli on Twitter, at Jack, the number 4NJ, of course, for New Jersey. So, you know, we want Curtis Sliwa to win the mayor's race here in New York, even though it's very, very difficult for a Republican to win, right? You got to go back to Giuliani and Bloomberg, and that seems to be the consensus with you, too. You got to go back to Chris Christie, obviously, but there seems to be this overwhelming fear that in states like New York and New Jersey, it's becoming virtually impossible for a Republican to win. I know you deal with that every day. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't see this as an impossibility, guys. Republicans have won 6 of the last 10 gubernatorial elections in New Jersey. And let's not forget, over that same four-decade span, every time a Democrat took the White House, New Jersey turned around and elected a Republican governor the very next year. And here's the other thing that I find most compelling. Phil Murphy lost his midterms. 2 years ago, Phil Murphy lost his midterms. Republicans did something we hadn't done in 28 years. We picked up seats in the state legislature. That was the beginning of the beginning of the rejection of Phil Murphy's extreme policies.
Yeah, listen, Jack Cittarelli, I got to tell you something, too. Also, you're straight talk. I love it. You're talking about, teaching gender ID to kids, kindergartners and sodomy and sixth grade, stuff like that. You caught some flack for that, but you're right on the money. I hope you're not backing away from that.
Not one bit, guys. I'm mainstream. I'm New Jersey. Phil Murphy's extreme. He's not New Jersey. Here's the question we've got to ask Phil Murphy. Yes, he signed the bill, and now it's the law, but it seems that he doesn't want to answer a couple of very simple questions in public. Number one, do you believe we should be teaching gender ID and sexual orientation in kindergarten? And do you believe we should be teaching the most explicit sex acts in middle school? I will tell you, as I've gone up and down this state 8 days a week, 18 hours a day for the past 3.5 years, 18 months as an official candidate, the people of New Jersey overwhelmingly say no. They want to do that. That's their job. It's not government's job. It's not the school district's job. It's not the teacher's job to be teaching gender ID and sexual orientation in kindergarten or the most explicit sex acts in middle school. That's a mainstream position.
Certainly is. Wow, well said. I love it.
Jack Cirarelli, he's running against Phil Murphy for governor. One of the issues you've got in your state, and lots of states have the same issue, is all this money that folks are getting for unemployment has made it very difficult, as you know, Jack, for local business owners in all these states to hire folks. Folks are making $800 a week. It's a lot more they'll make it anyone their businesses. How do you plan on fixing that once this thing is over and said in September?
Guys, we know there are hardship cases out there, and we want those that are hardships to get their benefits. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. But 33 governors across the country have begun to reject the $300 weekly supplement from the feds for unemployment. And Phil Murphy's got to turn off the spigot here in New Jersey. Okay? If you make it too easy for people, they will stay home. How is it the state with the highest unemployment rate in the nation has help wanted signs in every single window? And I'm telling you something. That help wanted isn't just for labor. Those business owners are crying out for help with a new governor, and I'll give it to them.
Jack Cirarelli, again, Assemblyman Jack Cirarelli from New Jersey, running against Phil Murphy, the evil Phil Murphy for governor of New Jersey. Jack, you tweeted out something about Ben and Jerry's yesterday. Now, in other words, you're all over everything, the culture wars, everything, which I love. Tell us about Ben and Jerry's and how you feel.
Well, listen, if you're running for governor, it's your job to talk about the hot button issues of the day and what matters to New Jerseyans. And I'll tell you what matters to a great many New Jerseyans, and it matters to me, is that we continue to strengthen our religious, cultural, and economic ties with Israel and support Israel. When I was in the state legislature, I voted for the bill that prohibited the investment of state pension and funds in companies that boycott Israel. We're not going to invest in those kind of companies. So Ben and Jerry all of a sudden isn't going to do business in certain parts of Israel. Okay, we're not going to be supportive of Ben and Jerry's. It's that simple.
I love it. I love it. Very good, Jack Cirarelli. So you're on the stump. How can people contribute and help you out in the campaign? What website do you have? Where do they go?
Jack4NJ, and that's the number four, guys, just as you said before, Jack4NJ.com. And Jack4NJ is also the handle on all of our social media platforms.
So when is the debates coming up? Does he plan on debating you, I should say? How many times? What's the future of Cirarelli versus Murphy?
There will be at least two debates because that's the requirement by law. And New Jersey just announced that they'll take place sometime, I think, in the second half of September. Listen, I think we should take the Lincoln-Douglas route here. Let's have seven debates. It's one-on-one.
I love it.
We've got 4 months. Of course, Phil Murphy will never accept that challenge.
No, of course not.
This is a guy that they keep in the shadows, and when he does emerge, he's always reading from a script and never takes Q&A. And you see him, guys, with his lack of comments with regard to what's going on at the Jersey Shore. You guys both know that the Jersey Shore in the summertime is a rite of sacred passage in New Jersey.
Yep.
And for the first time ever, we're canceling firework displays, and we've got curfews on boardwalks and beaches because of unruly crowds that cops cannot take care of because our attorney general and our governor have handcuffed our local cops. Okay? They've handcuffed them in terms of what they can and can't do anymore. And look what's happening along the Jersey Shore. And if you're somebody that owns a business on a boardwalk and you're shutting that boardwalk down at 9 o'clock with a curfew, how is that good for business when you've got only 13 weeks to make your money?
Is that still going on up and down the whole shore, or just a couple of different towns along the way?
Exactly. And mayors and police chiefs are speaking out that the directives from the attorney general under the direction of the governor is making it impossible for our cops to do their job.
You know,
are we not going to observe the rule of law in New Jersey? Are we not going to protect our sacred right of passage at the Jersey Shore?
You're absolutely right. You know, I can tell you this, Jack Cirarelli. I live in Long Beach. In New York, everything is open. The boardwalk, the businesses, everything is wide open. So by comparison, Governor Cuomo is doing better than Phil Murphy.
Phil Murphy does not have the backs of our local law enforcement. Their job has never been harder. We need a governor and an attorney general that has the back of our local law enforcement, supports them to do their very, very difficult job. I will, as will my attorney general.
on the COVID front, it looks like these numbers are going up, the Delta variant, they want masks on kids. And I know Murphy is one of these psychos like Cuomo and these other blue state governors who just can't get enough of this COVID thing. They want it to stick around forever. What are your thoughts on what's going on there? Because my fear is that some of these blue state governors, they're going to start shutting down stuff again.
They're going to start shutting down things. And, you know, he copied Cuomo on almost every good thing, guys. But one thing he didn't copy Cuomo on, at least Cuomo never shut down the state and county parks or the public golf courses. Phil Murphy shut down the county and state parks and the public golf courses.
That's right.
At a time when mental health was critically important. Those are very expansive areas that there would have been no risk of spreading the virus. But listen, I will tell you this. It's up to the family as to whether or not their child should have to wear a mask in school. So we're not going to be forcing a mask mandate for our children.
I got to tell you something.
Shouldn't.
Very, very impressive.
Yes.
Jack Citarelli, the more we hear from you, the more impressive you sound. You're
He's
great.
The guy. He's the guy. Bottom line is, folks, vote Jack Citarelli. Follow him on Twitter. Do it today. At Jack, the number 4, NJ for New Jersey. At Jack 4, New Jersey. Again, running against Phil Murphy this November. Jack Citarelli. Jack, 2 for 2, brother. Doing great. Thank you for hopping on. Keep coming back.
Looking forward to next time, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Jack Citarelli, once again, should be your choice for governor of New Jersey.
I mean, didn't know we had this caliber of people in the Northeast. I mean, where the hell are Jack Citarelli? This guy's great.
He is great. He is great. Gretchen Rossi, former Orange County housewife, Lauren Conlin, and Beat Bernie, still to come on the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Ladies and gentlemen, go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, B-A-R-R-I-E, folks. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. Register now. And good luck.
See this story about this 23-year-old girl, Carolyn Levitt?
I have not. Maybe I have. Tell me. Tell me a little more.
She's 23, and she's looking to unseat a New Hampshire Democrat by specifically running against 78-year-old President Biden's policies and what she calls the tyrannical corruption of New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo. 23 years old, running for Congress, and can't take office till she's 25.
A former Trump campaign staffer.
That is
right?
Correct.
Yes, yes, I have heard about her. Yeah.
She used to work with Trump, I guess, and Elise Stefanik as well. Running at 23, how about that?
That is radical.
Yeah, people are getting more engaged. You just had that Turning Point USA conference that hosted by Charlie Kirk. He runs Turning Point down in Tampa.
Yeah, we almost went to that, you and I.
We almost did. A lot of young speakers, a lot of people out there engaged. Just like Jack Citarelli. I mean, what they're doing, these kids have just experienced college and high school. And the indoctrination that's going on, they're scratching their heads. They're going home saying, Mom, what the hell are these people telling us in school? They've seen it, and they're angry about it, so they're engaged, and they're getting involved, and I love it.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So, state of New Hampshire, her name once again is Caroline Levitt.
What about these, I see this also, these Yankee fans are getting out of
hand. They're getting crazy.
They're throwing stuff at the baseball players. The wife of one was spat on.
Well, that was, Jason Varitek, who used to be the catcher for the Red Sox for many years, and I guess he still works inside the organization. His wife got spat on, I believe.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. So,
His daughter.
9-year-old daughter.
Right, his daughter. And then they threw something at one of the outfielders in the Red Sox series.
Verdugo.
And then last night, some maniac comes running across the field in the sixth inning, and I love to see this, against the Phillies, and security just beat the living daylights out of this guy. I mean, they beat him to a pulp. It was great.
They Rodney King this guy.
They really did.
This is unbelievable. I'm looking at some of the video right now, and it's what should happen if you run on the field like that. I mean, it will only act to deter people in the future is what it will do.
Right, you really got to make
deterrence an example. Deterrence works, folks. Yeah. The bad behavior has bad consequences for you. That concept actually works. It stops people from doing it in the future.
But what is it about Yankee Stadium these days that these fans are...
Yankee fans.
Yankee fans.
Yeah, the Yankee fans are a bunch of
degenerates.
Yeah.
We don't see Met fans doing that in Flushing and Queens at Citi Field, do we?
They've always been Yankee fans. Have been arrogant and,
sure, of course.
You know, this superiority complex. Yeah, we're better than you guys.
Right. We're supposed to be the lowlives of Met fans, right, and Jet fans. What happened? What happened?
That's what I'm saying.
We're not throwing batteries at opposing outfielders.
Because half your team has the China virus. That got you pissed off?
The hot, though. They've won three straight, the Yanks. They got the Phillies again tonight.
You just blew the whole segment.
I know. I'm sorry. Real Housewives of Orange County, former star Gretchen Rossi, Lauren Conlin, and Beat Bernie. All next hour. Funny, I just did the light back spot about 10 minutes ago. Arthur, love Arthur, Lightback. Lightback.net, 10% off when you put in the promo code WABC. Everybody knows, of course, that I have been a avid watcher of all the Housewife shows on the Bravo channel for many, many years. Even corrupted Bernard to start watching them.
A little bit.
Ebony Williams, of course, was a co-worker and friend of ours years ago. And she is now single-handedly destroying whatever New York had left. And, of course, Dolores is a very good friend. And she's on the Housewives of New Jersey. In fact, is filming this morning. So we still watch all that stuff. We're still knee-deep. I used to watch Orange County a lot. Not much these days. I actually miss, like, Vicky and Tamara and those folks. But I watch them all. And Gretchen Rossi was one of the stars of Housewives of Orange County, going back years now. I think she did appear once the last couple of years, maybe season 11 or 12, I forget. She was a mainstay for about 4 years. But she's really here this morning because of Lightback, which I just talked about. She's got a little girl, and she had a choking incident. And she came to find what I tell you folks every morning on this show, which is Lightback saves lives all over the country, all over the world, every day. So with that said, let's welcome her in, former star, Real Housewives of Orange County, Gretchen Rossi. Gretchen, Sid, Bernie, how are you?
Good morning, you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. It's good to have you on. I know these days you're a wellness influencer, a mompreneur, former reality star, and decided to walk away from the Housewives to really be with your child. And you've got a story that ended up great. Thank God for that. A lot of them don't. Tell us what happened to your daughter and why, in fact, you turned to Lightback.
So it was Skylar's first birthday party, and we had a mermaid-themed birthday party, and we had a lot of, like, sequins as part of the decor. And one of the, like, quarter-sized sequin pieces, I guess, had fallen off one of the tablecloths, and Skylar had gotten a hold of it and put it in her mouth. And, you know, at a party, at events, you know, you're busy, you're running around, you're doing stuff, you're taking pictures, and obviously you have your eye on your child, but you might not see something as quick or as small as a piece of sequins going in your child's mouth. And she was sitting on the edge of the pool taking pictures with our little mermaid characters that we had hired. And I saw the reflection of the sun, which she, like, had opened her mouth, and I saw the reflection of the sun on the piece of sequins in her mouth. And I completely freaked out. And I was standing next to the photographer trying to get her attention, and I went running to go get her. I had this long skirt on. I tripped and fell. I scraped up my knee. I jump in the pool, and I finally get to her, and I start sticking my finger in her mouth trying to get out this, you know, piece of sequins that I saw. And everyone's like, "What are you doing? Why are you freaking out?" And I'm like, "There's something in her mouth. There's something in her mouth." And everyone's like, "There's nothing in her mouth. She's fine." I'm like, "No, there's something in her mouth. I know. I saw it." And so I kept sweeping my finger in her mouth. And finally I went, like, up back towards the back of, like, where her molars are. And I found it, and I got it out of her mouth. And I was just shaking and crying. And it just, you know, put kind of a damper on that day, because it was extremely scary, because the thought of had that really, you know, thin piece of sequins gone down and got stuck in her esophagus, there's no way I would have been able to get that out. So that was the day that, you know, just really shook me to my core. And I ended up going on social media and just, you know, finding anything and everything about choking and what you can do and how you can prevent it and how you, you know, just anything and everything.
And in my research, I came across LifeVac. And I, you know, it was like an ad on Facebook or something like that. And it just really pulled at my heartstrings. I saw these two moms talking about the fact that they lost their children to choking, and I was devastated over it. And I just immediately got one of the life hacks. I actually ended up reaching out to the company, and I said, what can we do to get these, you know, devices in people's hands? I'm an influencer. I really want to use my voice and my platform. And that's how that all came about.
Wow, that is an incredible story. Gretchen Rossi, I'm so glad you saved your daughter's life and you found LifeVac to help people save other kids' lives. Of Gretchen Rossi, former Real Housewife of Orange County. Gretchen, you recently began working with LifeVac, focusing on people with disabilities. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, as I got more involved with the company and LifeVac and the owner, Arthur, and everyone that works there, which they're all just such incredible people, and they have such a heart for really helping people, they started to educate me on the fact that, you know, people that are in a wheelchair, they might not even have a chance at rescue due to their predicament of being in a wheelchair, and due to the fact that nowadays the size and the capacity of these wheelchairs, you know, some people can't even reach around and do the current choking protocols, you know, like the Heimlich maneuver or something like that, just due to the size and the capacity of these chairs. And it just started to make me realize how sad it is that, you know, people that are handicapped like that might, that there's nothing that could even save them besides something like a LifeVac.
Right.
And so when I started to think about that, I thought that's really unfair. And I really wanted, again, to use my voice and my platform and really, you know, reach out to our leaders and really start making them aware of the fact that, you know, in a way, it's almost like we're discriminating against people that are in this predicament. I mean, if you look at any of the choking, you know, posters or anything out there, there's nothing that says anything about somebody that could be in, you know, a situation like in a wheelchair. And so it just really makes you realize that. And beyond even that, you know, I want these devices to be in every school. I want it to be in every restaurant. I want it to be in every home.
Yep.
I want it to be on airplanes. I want it to be where anybody and everybody could be. That could possibly have a choking emergency that might not have access to, you know, get to a professional to help them. For instance, I don't know if you know this, but 50 to 70% of the time when somebody applies, like a professional is applying a current choking protocol, it doesn't work.
Nope.
And that's really scary to think about that an actual professional even, you know, doing a current choking protocol, it might not even work. So when you have a LifeVac, that ups your chances to 99%. And that's just a huge difference to me. And that's the difference between life or death. And you know, 5,000 people a year die from choking. And every 5 days, that's a child. And that's what just breaks my heart, is the thought of somebody losing a child to accidental choking. I mean, it just breaks my heart when I think of those statistics.
Go to lifeback.net, put in the promo code WABC, get 10% off this life-saving product. The funniest part about this product, Gretch, and I just cut videos.
You know
with, yeah, I do call you Gretch, as if I've known you for 50 years.
I love it.
I just cut videos with Arthur last week, and it's like this little, light, easy to use. Like you would think we're talking about saving somebody's life. This is like this big. It's nothing. It's this little thing, and it's light, and it's easy to use, and it saves lives, like you said, most of the time.
You know what? It saved hundreds of lives already. And, you know, I posted a video on my social media. It was so, I mean, it's just tear jerking, honestly, when you watch it. It went viral. There's been over, you know, 7 or 8 million hits now, I think, on this video. But it was a home video that captured this mom literally saving her little baby from choking because of this LifeVac. And you watch the panic and you watch the whole thing play out. And she pulls her baby out of the high chair, and nothing is working. She's trying all the current choking protocols. Nothing is working. Finally, she goes to her like coffee table, and there's a drawer, and she opens up. The LifeVac is in there. She pulls it out. She puts her baby down on the couch and applies it. And it, like you said, it's so easy to use. It's literally place, push, pull.
and it dislodges what is in her baby's throat, and she picks the baby up, and she's like holding him and crying. And if you think about this, Sid, he could that video could have been a video of her child dying.
That's right.
Instead of a video of saving her child's life.
Yep.
And it's stuff like that that you just go, wow, you know, this truly works. It's truly incredible. And yes, we always encourage people to do the current choking protocols, but why not have a backup plan? Why not have this emergency, you know, device in your hands just in case something like what just happened to that woman happens?
I mean, it's all the common sense in the world. Gretchen Rossi, former Real Housewife of Orange County. Her Twitter handle is at Gretchen Rossi, Instagram at Gretchen Rossi, of course, on Facebook as well. You can probably check out that video she talked about at one of those sites. But Gretchen, I have to ask you this. You're calling us from California. Are you ready to put a mask back on and lock down again?
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm not ready for any of that. I'm so frustrated about all that. The only mask I want to put on is a life back, you know, to save my life. not to do all this crud again. But, you know, the other thing I want to tell you, Sid, is I have even a better deal for you guys this morning. If you guys put in Gretchen 25, you guys are going to get 25% off.
Wow.
So I'm going to up you. Yeah, I'm going to up you with your percentage off.
Well, now you got me going. Now I have to call Arthur and do something for 50% off tomorrow. How about that?
Right?
I ain't losing this battle. Hey, you know, before I let you go, I'm sure you heard the introduction that we do watch the Bravo channel. I do, Sid, specifically, a lot. Way more than I should, to be honest. But you're off the show for the most part for 8 years. I used to watch yours quite a bit, Vicky, Tamara, the whole crew. Do you still watch it? Are you going to be here in October for Bravo? Kind of the Jacob Javits?
Oh, you're so funny. No, I don't still watch it. I actually canceled my cable a few years ago and I don't watch it, but I'm kind of bummed because I've been excited about watching Beverly Hills this season, and I'm not able to watch it because I don't have the cable.
Let me tell you something. It sucks. It's Erica Jane bitching about her divorce and some really lame story about the new Asian girl and Sutton, who's really boring. It's a brutal season. Trust me.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
it sucks.
Bummer. I thought it would be a good season.
I got to tell you, the whole franchise is falling apart. I mean, thank God for New Jersey. And to a certain extent, I'm being serious, because the rest of it, New York is a mess. Atlanta's about to go away. Potomac, I mean, it's the whole franchise is really taking a dive. Thank God for New Jersey. That's my opinion.
I know. I've been hearing this. I've been hearing they're really struggling. I just saw something about New York's ratings was just like really down in the dumps, which I'm surprised about because I thought New York was one of everyone's like favorites. So I don't.
Well,
they've
got a new character who used to work with me and Bernard. Her name is Ebony Williams. She's African American, and she spends an hour every single week trying to explain Black history to Luann and Ramona and the rest of these ladies. And, and she calls them racist and white supremacists and all that stuff. And it ain't working.
No, people are tired of that.
Oh no,
tired of it. But anyway, Gretchen.
Yeah, you know.
It's a mess.
We don't want to drag you into all that. Listen, you're a representative for LifeVac, which is life-saving.
Yes.
Gretchen Rossi, congratulations on all the work you do. Thanks for all the work you do on behalf of LifeVac. And thanks for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great day. And don't forget to use code Gretchen25.
Code Gretchen25. Get 25% off your LifeVac device today. Great job, Gretchen. Thank you so much. Still to come, Lauren Conlin, Red Carpet Rendezvous, and your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. All that is still to come on this Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Oh, the Kinks! Friend Joseph Nunziata just sent me a text of me and Bernie. Page 20, today's New York Post, is a huge color promotion of Bernie and Sid and Cats. So there's pictures of all three of us.
Mr. Katzimatidis, to me anyway.
Well, to you he is. Joe says, quote, you guys have faces for radio. Joe's a good-looking guy, so I guess he can say that. But I think we all look great in those pictures today. Page 20 in the New York Post. Check it out.
Who's this guy ragging on us?
You don't want to mess with him.
Who is he, though?
He's a buddy of mine from Williamsburg who I saw at Rayo's a couple of weeks ago, Joe Nunziata.
I'll throw him around like a rag doll.
He doesn't like the fact that Curtis doesn't like Italians. You know what I'm saying?
I like Joe Nunziata, by the way. He's a big Trump supporter. You know that, right?
How do you know that?
Because I'm a hip guy. I know what time it is.
He's a very big Trump supporter. He's got a beautiful family. I think I met his father, Danny. I think that was his father. But they're all Trump supporters.
Don't be talking trash about him. He's a good guy.
No, you're talking trash about him.
No.
You just said you're going to throw him around.
Actually, I agree with Sid. You were talking trash about him.
Now you're going to get your ass kicked.
Stop.
Now he's going to kick your
ass. My boy Joe.
I'll talk to him. He won't kick your ass. 1-800-848-WABC. That's for Beat Bernie. We need a contestant. 1-800-848-9222. It is time for Lauren Conlon and Red Carpet Rendezvous. On Wednesdays, we moved it to Wednesday. And, welcome to Wednesday. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. It's a little weird being here on Wednesday, but now I'm here every day doing the news. So I guess it all kind of runs together for me, you know?
Has Labrosi given you that gig, or is it still like a tryout term?
No, it's my gig,
Sydney.
Oh,
it's your gig.
Yeah.
By the way, you sound great.
Oh, thank you.
Really do.
Thank you so much. And Bernie, I have to say, I mean, are you obsessed with me? I heard you call a guest my name on Monday.
He did.
Are you obsessed with me? No. We had just spoken.
Oh, he's stuttering.
We had just spoken. I came in and I didn't even know who we were interviewing. Some lady, some girl that he had just brought on last minute.
I feel like this is very wordy, which makes
me
guilty.
I'm sorry. It's a true story.
No, you're right about that. It was 9:05 Monday.
Kelly Kravitz or somebody?
Who was it?
Kelly Kravitz or somebody?
Oh, Kimberly Kravitz.
Kimberly Kravitz. See, well, I don't even know.
Apparently, you had Lauren on the brain, so I don't know what to tell you, Bernie.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to tell me.
Oh!
I'm good. I'm fine.
Guys.
Go ahead and think what you like. Everybody's thinking about Lauren, of course.
So what is the big story today?
Big story this week, and I hate recycling stories. I got pulled in the other day on Greg Kelly. He wanted to talk about this, but it's a big deal. The Sports Illustrated 3 covers that came out this week.
Yes.
So from a female perspective, I am okay with this. There's Lena Bloom. She is the first transgender woman to be on a cover.
I'm not okay with that. It's gross.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm not shocked.
Right.
There is
I got the
Megan
balls to say it, though. A lot of the fans feel the same way. They wouldn't say it. I got the balls to say it. Nobody wants to see that.
No pun intended.
That's right. I got the balls. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, Okay. So Megan Thee Stallion, and then we have...
Naomi Osaka, right?
Yes, exactly. Naomi Osaka.
Osaka, right.
That's a mouthful. But so... My whole thing here is Sports Illustrated. Is it even a thing anymore? I mean, do people even care?
Yes, people do buy these swimsuit editions.
Are they just trying to be relevant? That's what I was wondering.
Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah. It's an anachronism is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's outdated. The internet should have erased it a long time ago, like it did with many other magazines.
I think it did, Bernie, for the most part. Like the weekly edition of Sports Illustrated doesn't sell. But I'm telling you that the swimsuit edition still sells in big numbers.
Okay.
Big numbers.
Right. I guess I believe that to an extent when they do things like this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call it a stunt. It's not a stunt.
It is a stunt.
It is a stunt.
When you've got a transgender on the cover, that's not a stunt?
Can I say this? It's a cunning stunt.
Oh, see what he did?
How about that?
Okay.
I like that.
Well, Greg wanted me to put this into the universe and do like a poll on Instagram about who likes the cover versus who doesn't like the cover, or covers, plural. No. And 55% of people liked the cover and 45% didn't, which I actually thought was closer than I had imagined.
If they want to be courageous and they really want a virtue signal, they should have put a real transgender athlete on the cover, like that 260-pound New Zealand Olympic athlete.
Why isn't she real? Why isn't Lena Bloom real? She's a ballroom dancer, an actress, an activist. She's still a real transgender person.
She's not an athlete.
Put a
real transgender athlete on the cover, like this 260-pound weightlifter.
Okay.
And then we'll say, okay, you're courageous, Sports Illustrated.
I don't know. Megan Thee Stallion's not an athlete. No one's complaining about her.
Listen,
she's a rapper.
Can we just get back to the days of Kathy Ireland and Cheryl Tease?
Or as Greg Kelly said, bring back the super-duper models.
Yeah.
Okay.
As he tweeted
out. You guys, you're just stuck. You're stuck in like the 1900s. I hate to like bring that term out, but I mean, you are.
No, listen,
you're stuck.
No, nothing's changed.
The 1900s.
Nothing's changed. It's not stuck. It's the same.
thing that have attracted.
Matt Meany shaking his head.
The same thing that has attracted men to females and vice versa for thousands of years. None of that has changed.
Right.
None
of
it.
I understand.
So there's no reason to change it.
We do have a friend, Jim Norton, who likes these types of sexuals. He likes what they.
Chicks with
we
D's.
We used to call them chicks with D's.
Yeah.
You just uttered those three words.
I did.
That's 1900s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was born in the 1900s.
That's 1900s.
I admit that. I am a geriatric millennial, if you will. But let me ask you this. If you did not know that she was born a man, Lena Bloom, and you saw this cover, would you know that she was actually a man?
And one reason is because they have her positioned so that you can't see, you know, what the package is.
Well, you don't. She might have gotten an operation. I tried to look it up. I couldn't figure
that's
it
what
out.
I'm saying.
I could not figure it out, so I don't actually know.
Right. We're going to know if there's six kamikaze shots on Saturday night about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. And also, kamikaze shots? This is just – Sid doesn't party. No one drinks kamikaze shots anymore.
No more wine.
No. What are you talking about?
No Jägermeister and Goldschlager mix?
No Jägermeister.
They don't do that?
Peach schnapps?
No. Oh, my goodness.
They don't drink Jaeger?
No, people drink Jaeger, sure.
Okay.
I mean, I would say people just do shots of whiskey or tequila. I don't know. I mean, you are so funny, Sid. You so don't go out.
I so don't go out.
You so
it's
do
true.
Not go out. I try to get Sid to go out all the time with me.
He never
wants to go out with me.
No.
Literally.
Yeah.
In fact, we had the cast party for Gravesend last week. I told you about this. Chris Mamondo sent me a nice picture.
Yeah.
And I think I said to Willie DeMeo, if you paid me $5,000, I wouldn't show up. Forget about just showing up to party with everybody. If I got an appearance fee, I still wouldn't show up.
By the way, back in the day, he was the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
Oh, I believe
he would show up at anything, and he would pay to go. Getting paid. And then he wouldn't show up for work.
I feel like I missed out on this, Sid. Where is he? Can we bring him back?
By the way, I was like that as well. I showed up.
But you showed up
and you stayed.
I stayed.
Until the sun came up.
Right.
And then missed the next day's work.
Wow, because I was holed up at some Howard Johnson's on 9th Avenue.
With a half a kilo. Oh, my gosh. Talk about bed bugs.
Hojo.
Some nasty-ish right there. Ew. I do wish that I would have
known
you.
I even was holed up once. You know that nasty motel on the West Side Highway that's like right by when you make that right into Chelsea.
No, we
right
don't
there
know
in 12th
that
Avenue.
Motel.
You know that little motel?
I've been there a few times. on Gay Pride weekend.
Yeah. What?
But Bernie's right.
Look at her, she's shocked.
I'm actually not shocked because I feel like I saw Sid at West Garden one time back in the day. Kidding. I probably did.
I don't know what
is that
is,
place still around? Oh, you don't know West Garden?
No, where is that at?
Oh, it's over by your old office at Penn Station. It's a massage parlor.
No, I don't do that. No, that I don't do.
You know what you say.
I can go to Rick's Cafe down the block and go
it's
see
Rick's
my
Cabaret. Just letting you know,
that's fine.
It's Rick's Cabaret.
That's
they
right.
actually have good lunch special. I will say that. I used to work
steak,
across the street.
Yeah.
Yep. But if you go
Lonnie's
to,
one of my Lonnie Hanover is a dear friend of
good
mine.
Good meat. Yeah.
Whatever you guys. If you go to West Garden, you just say extra tip.
That's
the
tip.
And then you get what you want.
Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. It's been another great report this morning.
If you say
this is a great report. That's
Isn't
how you
it?
Do it.
Well, you know what? You know what, Sid? I was also going to tell you guys, in all seriousness, Sex and the City, the reboot that's coming out.
Yes.
And just like that, the script, a portion of the script was actually leaked. So I'm going to tell you, no spoilers, and not sure the listeners totally care, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I care.
Big and Carrie are divorced.
Oh, they are divorced. Because he's not in it. He's not in it. And people are very upset.
No, he is. Apparently, he is in it.
No.
You know, if they want to make it a tinge realistic on the new Sex and the City, one of the girls should be pushed in front of a subway train.
That's not a bad idea.
You know what I mean?
That was really grim.
No, I don't want them to get hurt.
Right.
But
weird.
Just to reflect the reality of the city today.
Well, maybe Cynthia Nixon. Maybe,
I am.
Maybe Cynthia Nixon comes out and admits she really is gay. And Steve was just.
That's right.
These are all terrible ideas. I hope the creators are listening.
By the way, it is fiction. Just take it easy.
That's right.
Take it easy.
No, but Noth is not in it. Chris,
nobody's going to get hurt.
No, he came out and said he might be.
No, he's not in it.
Well, he said he might be. But, I would just say that for those of us who watch Sex and the City, we know Carrie and Big, they're never really over, right?
They're always never over.
Yeah.
Right,
so I'm kind of like, oh, cool.
Right.
They're divorced. They're going to get back together. Right. Blah, blah, blah.
I kind of liked it with Mikhail Baryshnikov. I like that.
I did like him,
They broke up in Paris. It was a very nice thing. Anyway, you're great. Is this sponsored, this report?
He looked
it's
good
not
tights,
sponsored right now, Sid.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Hey, listen, who's on your red carpet rendezvous podcast?
So it comes out today. I have Shannon Dang from the CW show Kung Fu. She's amazing. She started off as a dancer for the NFL. In the NBA, and now she's an actress. So
nice.
We have a lot of fun.
Good for you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent job. Excellent.
Thank you so much. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Conlin_Lauren, or you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren_interviews.
All right, folks, that's like all it. Lauren Conlin. Check out her podcast every Wednesday, Red Carpet Rendezvous. And don't forget, Beat Bernie is coming up shortly.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
All right, Jim from Long Beach, a retired CO, court officer. Jimmy, how are you, pal?
I'm great, Bernie. Sid, thank you.
You're welcome. You know how the game is played today? A $100 gift card, courtesy of Pete Morgan and Fearless Boilers, and a Barry House coffee mug at stake. So we got some big things on the line here, Jimmy.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Here's no- By the way, where were you in, which courthouse?
I was in Nassau County Courthouse.
Nassau County Courthouse. And are you still there? Oh, you're retired. How long ago did you retire?
Retired 3 years.
Oh, no. So you were there just a couple of years ago. You know, You know,
35 years.
You know Anthony Capitola?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Big shot lawyer.
Who's that?
Big shot lawyer.
Yeah, my wife used to work for him, and now she's at a different firm in Long Island, but yes.
Yeah. Nice man. Very nice man.
Very nice guy, yes. He owns the Miller Ridge, and he owns, what is that other place in Eisenhower
Park? The Carlton, I believe.
Yes. Very good. All right, Jimmy, number one, what was the name of the Alexandre Dumas hero who was incarcerated for allegedly carrying letters from Elba to Paris?
Oh, I have no idea.
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax, you'd be Jesus.
That would be the Count of Monte Cristo. Number two, Jim. Yeah, tough one. The USSR was a socialist state that existed from 1922 to 1991. What was the USSR short for?
Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Nice! Very good, Jim. Number three, in 1975, geologists from the U.S. Geological Survey forecasted that what volcano would erupt possibly before the end of the century, and then 5 years later, in 1980, it did erupt.
Mount St. Helens.
Yes. What was the nickname given to the six all-black Civil War cavalry and infantry regiments who protected settlers, stagecoaches, wagon trains, and railroad crews along the Western Front?
You got me on that one.
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax, you'd be Jesus.
The Buffalo Soldiers is the answer there. And finally, Jim, in the year 2000, the White House press briefing room was renamed after which White House press secretary who was shot and seriously injured following an assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan?
That would be Mr. Brady.
Yes, James Brady. Very good. Good job, Jim. Jimmy gets three right out of the five. A very, very respectful and good performance. So Bernie needs at least four right today to win. Did well, James.
Thank you.
Put you on hold and see if Bernie fares better.
Absolutely a very good job out of Jim today. Made a little.
Is there a butt here? But?
No butts.
Oh, okay.
No butts. Number two was. I didn't know number two, which I probably should have known. So
you didn't know number two. Okay.
No. All and right. If people were listening to the show earlier, they should get number three.
Yes, that's so, true.
Good job out of Jim.
Bernie, you need four to win today. Okay.
I'm all right.
I think. Number one, what was the name? What was the name of the Alexandre Dumas hero who was incarcerated for allegedly carrying letters from Elba to Paris?
This is the Count of Monte Cristo.
Well done, Bernie. The USSR.
Great book, by the way. He also wrote the Three Musketeers.
Yes, that's right.
And he was half black, Alexander Dumas.
There you go. The other half was what?
French. White.
The USSR was a socialist state that existed from 1922 to 1991. What was the USSR short for?
The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Hey, now! In 1975, geologists from the U.S. Geological Survey forecasted that what volcano would erupt possibly before the end of the century, and then 5 years later in 1980, it did erupt.
We were talking about it earlier. Mount St. Helens.
That's right. You got one of these next two right. You win today's game. Bernie, what was the nickname given to the six all-black Civil War cavalry and infantry regiments who protected settlers, stagecoaches, wagon trains, and railroad crews along the Western Front?
Along the West, the black cavalry group?
Yes.
Wasn't the Temptations.
See what he did?
I have to say, I just don't know.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
Didn't he, what's his name, sang a song about
this? Yes, Bob Marley did, and the Wailers.
That's right, the Buffalo Soldiers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you win if you get this right, and the contestant did get this right. In the year 2000, the White House press briefing room was renamed after which White House press secretary who was shot and seriously injured following an assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, it was Brady.
That's right, 4-3. Not Tom Brady was at the White House yesterday, but James Brady. And he did eventually die from those wounds years later.
Yes, he did.
Paralyzed. 4-3, the final score. Bernie gets the win. Jim from Long Beach, Bernie's neighbor. Say hello to Bernie.
Hey, Jimbo. How are you, buddy?
Hey. How you doing, Bernie?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, man.
Listen, I was on the boardwalk last night, and there's a priest. I forget his name, but every time I pass him, he's like, "When am I going to see you in church?" You know, I'm on the bike flying by at 30 miles an hour. You go out on the boardwalk a lot there, Jim?
I walk every day.
I mean, we live in paradise, do we not?
Yeah, listen, I got to go to your restaurant down there in Atlantic Beach, your friend Dino.
Dino's, yeah. Mike, who runs Dino's, is a great guy from Montenegro. You got to check that place out, yeah.
Yeah,
patronize. He's a great guy, and it's a great area. You know that, Atlantic Beach and... Long Beach, Point Lookout. It's all beautiful. And you're a former court officer, right, Jim?
Yeah. We're not as a court clerk. Yep.
So we have now, we have Ann Donnelly. She's running for Nassau County DA against Senator Todd Kominsky. You know her?
Yeah, I do. I haven't seen her in years, but she's a great assistant district attorney, and she's got my vote.
You got to get the word out. We can't allow the guy who helped craft the no-cash bail law, Todd Kominsky, become our district
senator.
Our district attorney. We can't allow that.
We cannot have that. You're right.
Very good, Jimbo. Listen, great effort. Sorry you didn't win, but I'll see you on the boardwalk someday.
Well, I came close.
Yeah, you did well, Jimmy. Nice job. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We will close out this show as we do every day. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Or are you out?
On 77 WABC.
Out.
Is you in or is you out?
This restaurant week, they keep talking about some place. My boy Roger Clark. I like Roger Clark, actually. I hate New York One. Most of the folks there, I can't stand them. But I like Roger Clark, and he keeps talking about this Ice House Cafe. I'm not familiar with that. You ever hear about that, Bern?
No. No, have I ever heard of Roger Clark until you just uttered his name.
He's a very nice guy.
You're looking at the TV right now.
He lives on the Upper West. I see him on the Upper West Side with his kid, that big Met fans. He actually likes us very much, even though he's a New York One guy. Big WFAN guy. Very nice guy. So he's covering Restaurant Week. And
you're a funny guy. You're like a shiny object guy. Well, there's Roger Clark talking about the restaurants.
Yeah. There's a lot going on, and if I see something, it automatically gets my attention. Like 2 days ago, for example, I was watching the middle screen, and there was Mark Wahlberg, who was on the trading floor.
Oh, by the way, I just read something about him. Where did I read it?
He's playing.
No. The article was about, has everybody forgotten about Mark Wahlberg's racist past?
Really?
Where did I see that? Was that the New York Post today? I don't remember. I didn't stop because I don't care.
What did he do?
I don't care what he did in the past.
Well, what did he do?
He used to be, when he was younger, he was a thug. He got arrested a couple of times.
Yeah, I remember that, right. When he was with the Funky Bunch.
And just before the Funky Bunch, I guess he was doing some racist stuff.
He did.
I don't know. I don't care. Like I said, I didn't read it, but I did see the headline.
Is that right?
Somebody's trying to call him out. Marky Mark. But he's since redeemed himself.
He's not Marky Mark anymore. Now he's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, right. And he's very, very philanthropic with veterans, warriors,
great.
And all that stuff. And he played a great part in Lone Survivor.
He was great in that.
So leave him alone.
Yeah, I love Mark
Cancel.
Wahlberg.
Shut up.
I like his brother, too.
He who is without sin cast the first stone. All right there, big mouths.
What's his brother? Oh, Donnie.
Donnie on Blue Bloods.
Yeah, he's really good, too.
He's great. He's really good. It's a good show. Steve Sciarippa. I like it.
Yeah. What is it? I mean, you want to say something about
Mark? Oh, no. I was just saying Wahlberg and, you know, he's Brady's boy, Tom Brady's boy. He was at the White House yesterday.
Oh, Wahlberg was with him?
No, Tom Brady was at the White House.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah,
Brady. Oh, they're good buddies, though?
Yeah, they're buddy-buddy Boston guys. Yeah.
I don't know. I know Ben Affleck, for example, has talked about taking Brady on his private jet, and he's intimated about some of the sex that goes on up there.
Oh, right? Boy.
And it was, by the way, I think it was when Affleck was still married to Jen Garner before Bennifer 2.0.
Well, Brady was funny yesterday at the White House.
He was.
And he looked great with his hair plugs. Just remember that, folks, when you watch Tom Brady, how handsome he is. He does have hair plugs. The guy would have, you know, he'd look like me. If not, I mean, on top anyway, not from the forehead down. But, yeah, him and LeBron James, both hair, very expensive and very well-done hair plugs. Some guys like Schmuck Schumer and Joe Biden, those guys, we called them plugs for a long time.
I got hairy legs.
Yeah, and they looked horrible. You could see the plug.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that, you know,
yeah.
There's like space between each plug.
Like that. Yeah,
but Brady's got like a tuft of hair, you know, coming out of his forehead like he's 20 years old.
It's been offered to me. I won't do it. Big show tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly's coming up, and we'll have others, too. Thursday's always a great day on Bernie and Sid. Enjoy your Wednesday. It's going to rain later. Take your umbrella out. From all of us here to all of you until 6:30 tomorrow morning, New York City.
Peace!